The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
There is one universal progressive truth, and that is crisis creates opportunity. Crisis creates opportunity. And if there isn't a crisis, create one, and there's your opportunity. That's the way every progressive and big government scheme takes flight. Every time there's a crisis, got to do it. Have to do something. Can't stand around. These people don't want to do anything. The threat of a crisis is what gave us the federal income tax. The threat of an environmental catastrophe gave us the EPA. The horror of people dying in the streets, even though people weren't dying in the streets, gave us Obamacare. And now it's the fear of China. It is causing our government to consider nationalizing the country's mobile network. Oh, well, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Wow, is that a good idea? If we could just cut the phone company out as the middleman, then we'd have a network that could be wide open to the NSA 24/7. How great is that? Private companies like AT&T and Verizon built the networks that you use to make cell phone calls and surf the internet on your iPhone. Call clarity, internet speeds. I mean, have you noticed how fast we are advancing? From third generation or 3G in 2010 to 4G almost immediately after. But now there's a global race for 5G. And the government is scared to death that China is going to beat us. No, no. In a leaked memo, the plan lays out two options. Here's the first one. The U.S. government pays for and builds the network. That's fantastic. Of course, they're going to have access to everything, but they have to. They would then rent the airspace to private carriers. Now, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? First of all, I mean, just the structure itself. Government always does it better. Now, the second option is a private company. You could build the network, but what do private companies do right? How is this a hard decision? The leaked memo actually states that having private companies build the network isn't even a real option because it would take too long. And wait for it. The Chinese, they could hack into it. But the government? Oh, they're not going to hack into anything. We've never had hacks into anything. I mean, you want to really talk about something that's really locked down? Ask Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Boy, I'll tell you, there's security online in the Capitol. Every time you're forced into one option, it is due to a boogeyman. This time, it's China. We all need to take a step back and take a deep breath and realize we're being manipulated here. This is America. We don't nationalize private industry. We incentivize and we promote competition because competition is good. The last time we nationalized an industry, we got the TSA. Do I need to stick a finger where a finger shouldn't be to really have you understand? The TSA's not working out. Show me almost anything built by the government, and I'll show you a private company building and maintaining it better. The communications industry should be going crazy over this. Not only would this significantly hurt their business, but it is a huge slap in the face. The government is saying, yeah, we don't believe you. The government doesn't believe you? Well, we haven't believed the government in I don't know how long. We don't believe you can get this done. We could get this done. Oh my gosh. If that is not laughable to every American, we're in more trouble than I thought we were. And we're in trouble. Let's not fear what's difficult and challenging. Let's not let anyone else use our fears to have us do things that are positively un-American. If the government does this, you might as well call the new 5G network the People's Network or the Democratic People of the Republic's Network. How's that one? Let's give it a good, you know, people's dictatorship, communist kind of homage. Let's give it some sort of a name where we really understand what it is. Here's a phrase that should be going through everybody's mind. Quote, he who fights with monsters should be very careful lest he thereby become a monster. We're turning into those things that we have always feared. If we do this, we're no better than the Chinese. The government will have greater power to do exactly what the Chinese do to their people. Listen in on calls, track internet usage, monitor GPS. Imagine all of the applications 5G when the G stands for government. Imagine all the applications 5G will have on our lives in the next decade. You only need to remember one thing. Who we are. Who are we? We're Americans. We build it, not the government. And as with all progressive power plays, this isn't about any tangible or real threat. This is about control. Do not give it to them.
It's Monday, January 29th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I'd like to start a Monday just once in a while where I'm not like, you have got to be kidding me. This weekend, there were a couple of stories that just jumped off the page where I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. You know, first of all, this whole thing. Hi, Stu. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
First of all, the fact that the State of the Union is coming tomorrow is made life for me almost unlivable.
You're not a big State of the Union fan.
No, I don't care who it is. Reagan, you bring George Washington back from the dead and he could give the speech and I really wouldn't. Can you imagine? I think I would hate that even more. Imagine how long the standing ovations would be for him. Ladies and gentlemen, the first president of the United States. And it would go on and on and on. And everything he would say. My teeth really weren't wood. I can't take it.
And by the way, there wasn't one like that back then.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
No.
This is a new thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it?
It was like a letter.
Oh.
That's what it...
Yeah, but that's not what it says in the Constitution.
We're supposed to have an update is basically what it says in the Constitution.
Yeah, just the president just writes a letter and just says, hey, here's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is required to give us an update. It is not required for us to have all the pomp and circumstance of the speech.
If I run, and I'm thinking about running. Oh man, am I thinking about running? Basically to some safe zone if I could ever find one. But if I would ever run, this would be maybe my number one campaign promise. We're canceling the State of the Union. You don't have to watch it. Now I don't know if that's high on everybody's list, but I think it's somewhere on everybody's list. I can't take it, and so this year. What the left has decided to do is they're going to have the People's State of the Union. Oh, well, it's appropriate. I mean, I think they mean the people the way Mao meant the people, you know, so they're going to speak for the people. Hollywood, I don't know if you've caught wind of this at all, but you really are not a reflection of the average American person. It could be your Hollywood lifestyle. It could be, you know, it could be the fact that you hate people who make money, except you're one of the richer people that anyone in the country would know. You know, it could be some of those things. It also could be you're just wildly out of step on every single subject, including food.
Well, including all of their causes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the Me Too movement, right? We do, and then we have the Oscars that are, awarding movies designed to glorify an older man hooking up with a teenage boy, right? So, Kevin Spacey thing, they take out a guy from a movie and reshoot all of his scenes because he's been touching younger boys. And then they're like, by the way, watch this movie about the same thing, except in a much more positive light. And last night, the Grammys are on. And they're all bringing their white roses to show that they're in solidarity with the Me Too movement.
Yes.
When the music lyrics don't at all reflect.
What are you talking about?
What those values.
Are you telling me that there's any song out there, I mean, in today's world,
right,
that is degrading to women and relationships?
You are going to be stunned to hear this one. But yes, lots.
Really?
Yeah. And
okay,
by the way,
wait a minute, because I know, because I heard it all holiday season about, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Have you heard the lyrics of Baby It's Cold Outside?
That's becoming a whole genre now, which is, someone pointed this out on Twitter. I wish I could remember who it was, but some commentator pointed out that one of their favorite things is now all of the news stories about how millennials watch things that are old and get offended by them. Because there was a story this weekend about how millennials are watching Friends and are shocked at the way that they're talking to each other and the undertones of these things.
Oh, shut up.
Right. Like, because of the world they've grown up in, everything's offensive. There's nothing you can't say anything to anyone. But yet at the same time, the Grammys is not a nonstop parade of half naked women running across your television screen.
I saw a picture of somebody at the Grammys last night wearing a rose in something that looked like maybe you would wear in S&M. I mean, okay, she didn't have the red ball in her mouth, but almost everything else. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm just trying to get my hands around the, you know, we don't want to degrade women. We don't want to sexualize women. I'm just trying to figure it out. Anyway, we may get back to that because the Grammys is so high on everybody's list. I just want to go back to Hollywood is now talking about, and they're not alone. Michael Moore did his own State of the Union for the people. Yeah. For the people. I don't think anybody really even understands the people. Who is there anyone who is actually speaking for the people? Is there anybody who lives that lifestyle that takes the time to go and at least visit the people? When's the last time any of these Hollywood people ate at an Applebee's? Okay, when's the last time?
When they were doing a commercial for Applebee's.
When they were doing a commercial and they were like, we don't have to eat this, do we? Okay, I'm going to put it in my mouth and I'll chew, but then cut because I've got to spit this out.
I want to wash my mouth out with caviar afterwards. You're right, obviously. But I mean, look, I don't need someone to fake me into believing they're one of the people. Anyone who's the president of the United States, and this goes for any party at any time, going at least back to very, very early when you're talking about people who would leave the White House and go farm in their off time. This is a much different world that we're in right now. I don't need someone who's going to understand every struggle of the people. I need someone who's going to come up with good, solid policies and enforce them correctly and to, handle themselves like they're the president of the United States.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. May I do a State of the Union tomorrow for the people?
A Glenn Beck?
Yeah, Glenn State Beck. Of the Union? Because I am so right in the pocket with the people.
Oh, yeah. And
I drive by Applebee's. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I have somebody drive by Applebee's.
Exactly.
And they tell me, don't look to the left. here's what I really think. There's so much we agree on. There's so much we agree on. But we have only emphasized our differences. Let's celebrate our differences. How about we start celebrating the things that bring us together? For instance, you don't think the government should be able to tell people what to think, what to say, where to live, what to do, what to think? You want the government, those on the left, you want the government, you want the Donald Trump government telling you what you can say and think and do? The answer is no. How do I know that? Because California wanted to break away. California wanted to break from the U.S. Now, Republicans, conservatives, do you want Barack Obama or, you know, Van Jones and those guys? Do you want them telling you what to think, what to say? The answer is no, you don't. How do I know? Because when that was happening, Texas wanted to break away. So why don't we start at this is a really big one. Neither of us want the government to tell us what to do, what to think. None of us. So why don't we celebrate that? Let's just start there. Let's celebrate that. We have that in common. Now, you're going to have to kill a bunch of people to have them fall into line with some socialist utopia. And conservatives, you would have to kill a lot of people to get them to fall into line with everything that you want. So what do you say? We all just decide what we want in our own house and our own town. What do you think? We just return the power closest to you. And I'm going to even throw a bone in. Still, we'll have enough government to make sure that our food is safe and our air is generally clean and our water is generally clean. We'll reduce the size of the government, but not to the point to where we just don't have any idea what's going on. We'll just reduce it enough so our own EPA won't poison our rivers. I think we can make real progress here. But we have to stop listening to the politicians. Man, if only more people could hear that. We should get the government to build a 5G network.
Ooh.
All right. I'm sure the state could come up with something to make sure that they have a camera in your house. If we could get the government to build a security system for everybody's house, and that way they would know if the doors opened or closed and windows, they would know who was in the house. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have to call police. They are the police. Wouldn't it be great if we could have the government build a security system? Okay, well, until that fantastic utopia happens, I'm sticking with SimpliSafe, a private company that I have seen grow from 10 employees to now serving 2 million homes nationwide. I've seen it in businesses. I've seen it at homes. I have it at home. SimpliSafe. Now they've just released their brand new home security system, the all-new SimpliSafe. Completely rebuilt, redesigned. They've added new safeguards to protect against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landmines, bats, hammers, all of it. The new SimpliSafe. It's practically invisible with powerful sensors so small you'll hardly notice them, but the intruders will, especially the siren, and we've alerted police. This is what's truly remarkable is it's the same price. I want you to go to simplysafebeck.com right now. Monthly protection is $14.99 a month. You own the system. You won't believe how inexpensive this system is. You own it. There's no contract. You're in control. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Protect your home the smart way now. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Yeah, let's go history in a minute. How long have we been doing the insane ritual of State of the Union?
Yeah, so Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution does not say that you should have a State of the Union every year. It actually just says from time to time, which I love, that the Congress should give information to the State of the Union. So when it started out with Washington, who did give it orally, but it was very short, like 10 minutes. It was like a brief. It was an actual report, an update to Congress.
It slips in his lips.
Not what it is anymore, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson decided that the president lecturing Congress was too kingly, reminiscent of the British speech from the throne, and he started doing annual written messages to Congress. Mm-hmm. Seems to make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
The written tradition held
until
Woodrow Wilson's.
I knew it. I knew it. Oh, I rue the day that man was born. Oh, I knew it.
Woodrow Wilson's first report in 1913 was the first time it changed. What a shocker.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I think my stress may be coming from, I don't know, everything! It could be, it just could be that. I'm not really sure. I started the weekend, Friday, going home to find on our farm, in the corner of the farm, which, you know, we really never, really see. There's a new lake. It's fantastic. I have a new lake. And I'm like, I'm in Texas. I have a new lake that I didn't have 3 weeks ago.
A new lake.
I should look in that part of the property more often. How'd that happen? Well, it must have been raining. No, it hasn't really been raining a lot. So
new waterfront property. Congratulations.
I had new waterfront property. Wow. I lived in Seattle. I grew up in Seattle. I've never had this much problem with water in my life. For a long time, if you're a long time listener, you know that my time here in Texas has been spent, digging up my yard because my wife accidentally flushed her wedding ring down the toilet.
Okay? I remember that.
So we've dug up all the pipes. Okay, we found the wedding ring. It was a happy, joyous day. Don't shake my wife's wedding hand. I'm just saying, I don't think that thing is ever getting clean. Anyway, then we had a strange water bill show up at our house. It said we used 1 million gallons of water.
A million.
There's no leak. There was nothing. There was no way we used 1 million gallons of water, but yes, you did. No, we didn't. Yes, you did. Mysteriously, the very next billing, we weren't using 1 million gallons of water, nor have we.
So super thirsty that month.
So super, super, super thirsty. You know, from like 40,000 gallons to 1 million, we were very thirsty. Then we had a problem with the crawl space under our house. We just started having 3 feet of water. Okay, we shouldn't have 3 feet of water here. Hey, what's the water table here? No, it's definitely not the water table. You know what it is. Your drain pipes are all clogged. My drain pipes are all clogged? You sure it's not the water table? Drain pipes. We dig up all of the drain pipes. Then we put in some French drain. I could have told you the French drain. It's French! Of course it's not going to work. Spend, I don't even know how much money. I literally asked, just send it right to the bank. Send the bill to the bank. I don't even want to see it. Just tell them, take what you need.
It's a good way of controlling costs,
yes,
by
know.
The way. There.
I can't take it. So 3 months we were digging things up. Nothing. You know what it was? The water table. Oh, just go to Home Depot, get yourself some pump. So Friday, I got a new lake.
A new lake.
And a nice little running stream through the woods.
Oh,
that
wow.
Seems to be bubbling up from nowhere. Now, I remember the Beverly Hillbillies, that bubbling crude, that sent them, maybe this was a punishment, to Hollywood. Me? This is going to send me to prison. A little bubbling up. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to go postal. Somehow or another, on January 3rd, and I know the exact date, because I went to the website to check the water bill. A pipe, I think, burst on January 3rd. We went from 63,000 gallons a month to 776,000 gallons in the last 3 weeks. Over each week for 3 weeks. 770. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
So you're at over 2 million gallons.
Yeah, I have
in
about
2.5 million
gallons of this. We have like this natural, like, I don't know. It's like the geese are in there crapping all over everything. And so there's this natural place that when it does rain, it becomes like this little lake. Usually it's just a barren mud pit, but it's a little lake. Behind that lake now is another 2.5 million gallon lake. Okay. So I spent my weekend in a mud hole trying to find where the pipes are buried. Oh, that was fun. That was fun. I have pictures of it. I'll share them. So we were 4 feet deep in mud holes this weekend. So that might have affected my mood just a little bit today. But it also could be that as we're sitting with my daughter over the weekend, my son-in-law looks to me like, "Dear God, help me." And I said, "So what's up?" And she said, "Well, it's getting kind of weird at the house." And I said, "How do you mean?" "Well, I've been reading this new book, Dad." Now, my daughter is like me. When you think there's a problem, you got to do everything you can. And we're freaking alcoholics, man. It's all or nothing, okay? So she's like, "I'm concerned about the amount of trash that we as a family produce and sustainable." And all of her goals are really good. It's none of this global warming bullcrap. It's all just like, "Look, let's do our part to keep the belt." And that's great. That's great. That's great. Until you start making your own deodorant. Until you are you're brushing your teeth with like bamboo. I mean, it's like, it's getting weird. It's getting weird.
Brushing your teeth with
little bamboo, toothbrush. I saw the kids because they're staying over the house, you know, mm-hmm. because they live on the farm next door. And so they're staying over the house because they have no water. So they got everybody living in the house, which is delightful. And I saw last night they're the little bamboo toothbrushes, which are delightful and wonderful and sustainable. They're sustainable because I don't know if you know this, dude, mm-hmm. but every toothbrush you've ever had, it's still around someplace in landfill. Every single one.
It's designed very well. Yeah, I would assume it would be.
Thank God for that. And it's still there. Mm-hmm. So I'm in this weird place where I salute her passion. I salute. But she literally, she showed me the book. I said, "Oh, I'd like to read that book that you're reading." And she said, "Oh, okay. So she went in and she got it. And at one point, I do have to tip my hat to the author. She did think it was too far that she was growing her own moss to use as toilet paper. Now, I don't know about you, but when you get to the moss part of, sustainability,
right.
That's when I shoot myself.
It's the moss you're concerned about, not the do-it-yourself toilet paper.
No, it's the toilet. She actually says in the book, in some cultures they use their hands. Okay, well, I'm not in that culture. I don't want to be in that culture.
Some cultures are superior to other cultures.
No, how dare you?
And
how
dare you? America's number one.
How dare you, Stu? How dare you say that?
We are number one.
Yeah.
We don't use our hands, so right. We're number one.
Yes, and we don't have any number one or number two on us. So that's really good.
Well, I mean, I think she might be onto something here because did you know that we use 500 million straws a year in this country? 500 million straws.
Yeah. That's amazing.
500 million.
That's amazing. That's everyone in the country.
Yeah.
Even babies.
Yep.
Using two.
But yeah, almost two straws per person.
Per person.
Now, I'm the type of guy that might down 12 sodas a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give or take, it's about 12 sodas a day. And I don't think I use one straw per day.
Right.
Right. Because I mean, I guess when you go out to a fast food restaurant, you might
300
use
300 straws a year?
No. Yeah. Maybe 300. Right. But I'm a high user.
Right. Of straws.
Of soda.
Uh huh. Okay.
So, and you would think of straws, right? I mean, I guess you go to McDonald's, you might get a straw.
You're almost a cereal strawist.
Right.
Right.
But at home, you're not using straws typically.
Yeah.
You're not always using them when you're at a restaurant. You know, really, it's more of a fast food thing typically, but some restaurants you could use that as well.
Yeah.
But it seems like a high number to me.
Sure.
Where did we get
the number? I mean, let's look into the number before you see what California is doing. Let's get to the real root, because you might say that that's a lot of straws, but the evidence is clear, because the number came from.
Well, it's interesting you'd ask that, because no one had ever asked it before. Really? At no point did anyone say, where the hell did we get the idea that we're using 500 million straws?
Okay, hold on. Hold your horses. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen this on CNN.
Oh.
I've seen this in the Washington Post, New York Times.
Yeah, you've seen it CNN, Washington Post, Reuters.
People.
Time. Al Jazeera. Of course. National Geographic.
Uh-huh.
The Guardian.
Yeah.
The Independent.
Right.
Seattle Weekly. San Francisco Chronicle.
Got
the Sacramento Bee.
Wow.
The Los Angeles Times.
Uh-huh.
The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Wow.
You've also heard it from lovely or environmental organizations like the Lonely Whale Foundation.
Not the Lonely Whale.
Yeah.
Did we not say we only saved one? We should have saved two.
We should have saved two so they can reproduce.
Save the whales, not save the whale.
We just saved the Lonely Whale with this particular foundation.
Sad.
The plastic.
We should kill him. Do you want to go around as the only one of your species? Now I'm going to start a new organization. Kill the whale.
Kill the lonely whale.
Kill the lonely whale.
Cure loneliness today.
Yes.
The Plastic Pollution Coalition.
Huh.
And the Sierra Club.
Okay, so but you didn't answer the question.
No.
Where did it come from?
Well, the National Park Service, of course.
The Park Service.
Well, that's what it's usually attributed to is the National Park Service.
Okay, but it's not the Park Service.
Not quite the National Park Service. It's featured by the National Park Service.
Okay, all right. We're getting closer still. You know, I was saying, you know, we haven't struck water.
No, we haven't. We're not, we've got a lake, though.
We've got a lake.
I don't know where it's
coming
from.
There's a lake. Where is it coming from? Can you hit that pipe?
So Reason decided to ask, where did this stat actually come from?
Yes.
The National Park Service got it from, they didn't come up with it, they got it from a recycling company, EcoCycle.
EcoCycle.
Now you think, okay, that's credible. EcoCycle, right?
Well, sure.
Now, right away, you're like,
do they have a website?
Certainly they have. Yes, they do.
Okay, then they're credible.
Certainly they have no incentive to make it look like we're using more straws than we are.
Right.
Certainly not.
Got it.
But if you just came from EcoCycle, you might just dismiss it as a typical left-wing environmentalist claim that's just being mindlessly parroted by all these organizations.
So you're saying that it didn't actually come from EcoCycle?
No, it came from the research of Milo Kress.
Oh, Milo Kress,
now,
who is...
You might say Milo Kress, he's the EPA administrator.
Who is Milo Kress? I'm trying to remember.
There's a lot of people, you might think he's the executive of of some company.
EcoCycle.
Right, maybe.
Sure,
No. He did have a campaign called Be Straw Free.
Be Straw Free.
That was his campaign.
That was his.
What a ridiculous life.
If that's it's your life goal to be straw free, that's
right. Where did this guy go to college to get a job at Be Straw Free? Right. Here's where he went to college. Nowhere. You know why? Because when he started Be Straw Free and did the research,
he did the research. We have it now.
It is Milo Kress.
Yes. When he did that research,
Milo Kress. If you want to talk to him today and ask him that question, he's going to respond to you, and because he is probably by text or Snapchat,
right?
Because Milo Kress is 16 years old.
So he did the research as a 16-year-old.
Well, no.
No.
No, he didn't. Did not. No. Uh-huh. You see, this research is 7 years old, meaning when Milo Kress did the research to get this number, he was nine.
Wow.
A nine-year-old called straw manufacturers. I swear this is real. This is a real story. Milo Kress, a nine-year-old, did like a school project.
Great.
He called manufacturers in 2011 and estimated
power to the people
that we use 500 million straws a year.
Yes.
That is the piece of evidence. Now, all those organizations, again,
are quoting this.
CNN, Washington Post, Reuters, People, Time, Al Jazeera, National Geographic, all of these. And it is actually in the text of the Hawaii bill that would ban the distribution of plastic straws.
Uh-huh.
It has been used by Assemblyman Ian Calderon to use to craft this bill, which fines $1,000 for waiters offering unsolicited plastic
Yeah, but it's
straws.
In Hawaii, so nobody cares.
And California.
I mean, and California, yes. too.
Now, they say right. they're going to pull the fines out, which right. I don't know if they just go right to the death penalty. I don't know how they do
right.
it now.
Right.
But they're getting rid of the fines.
So here's
the
thing,
straws.
Stu. I got to cut this short, but I have to tell you, I went out this weekend mm-hmm. Because I needed something to blow off steam. So I bought as many straws as I possibly could.
You did?
Yes, plastic, all plastic. And we brought them in because I'd like to see how many straws we can actually use in one cup. And I believe we should make the world's longest straw today. Now, I have an 80,000 square foot studio, uh-huh. and I think we could start here and go all the way down past the three studios into the cantina and put the end of the straw. And I'd like to, that's a goal of mine because we're goal driven. And if you're from my family, it's all or frickin' nothing. All right, you need somebody for your business, and you need great talent. But you're short on time. You're short on staff. That's why you need somebody. You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes or, you know, email and email and email and email and phone call after phone call after phone call. What you need are smart tools. ZipRecruiter will post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with one click. Then it actively goes out and looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. Now, this is unlike other hiring sites. They don't depend on the candidates finding you. They go out and find the candidate that's right for you. That's why most people who use ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses Fortune 100 to companies like mine with immediate results. You can find out how this works and how great it works by using it for free right now. ZipRecruiter.com/back. Hire the right person fast. ZipRecruiter.com/back. That's ZipRecruiter.com/back.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Please tell me you have your tickets. I don't even know if you can get tickets now. I honestly, if you didn't get your tickets already, they're probably scalping. I can't even imagine what the. How much are tickets? How much are tickets going for now? Being scalped?
For Super Bowl?
No, not the Super. For the People's State of the Union.
Oh.
Super Bowl. Who's talking about that? I am talking about the most self-important political rally of our times, the People's State of the Union. Now, first, doesn't sound communist at all. Nothing to fear there. President Trump is scheduled to deliver his State of the Union address tomorrow. So tonight, several brave American patriots, and I mean brave. I mean it, Stu, brave. There is almost no one in their industry that disagrees with him. Almost no one.
So everything they say never gets questioned? Like,
never
for example,
gets, right.
if they say we're using 500 million straws a year, no one ever says,
no
where
one's
did that
gonna question.
Come from?
No one's going to okay. question. No one's going to push back.
No, okay,
they good. Are brave. They are going to be standing in a room full of people that all agree with them. And the press will cover them and take them at their word and make them into heroes. That's how brave they are. So these brave Americans, they are concerned about everyday Americans. More than you and I could ever dream of being. And they're banding together for a preemptive rally to protest what the president says in his State of the Union speech. Sure, sure. You might want to wait until you hear what he says. Why? 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 If you wait, then you have to haggle over the details. Then you have to actually know the facts, okay? There's no time to listen and critically evaluate what a Republican says when there's so much hashtagging and outraging to be done. Now, you say, Glenn, who are these people that are organizing the People's State of the Union? Because I'm a people. I know, I'm a people too. Well, there's Sam, you know, from Who's the Boss. He's going to be there.
I believe Sam's a she, the Alyssa Milano.
Okay, she's going to be there too. That's how important she is.
Well, I think it's...
And Sam, that you don't know about from Who's the, from bo- who's the Guy. Boss.
Okay, because I was going to say...
He's on Earth too.
We don't necessarily need to define Alyssa's gender for them.
Thank you.
That is something that they would decide.
Yes, and why are you being so gender specific? Anyway, we also have the Hulk from the Avengers... And Michael Moore from Flint. I mean, that's the people, if I've ever seen the people. Tell me you don't walk into, you know, the Applebee's, or you're sitting there, you know, in the Cinemark, and you turn around and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you guys look just like everybody else. And it happens to be Michael Moore and Mark Ruffalo and Sam. I don't know which one. Mm-hmm. The event is in Manhattan, which is the center of the universe. Wait a minute. Hang on. Yeah, it is the center of the universe. I just wanted to remember, because there was somebody that was locked in a tower for saying that the world does not revolve around Manhattan, right? He's still in the tower? Anyway, this is, you know, you think Manhattan, you think that's the people, the common man. Tickets are $47. Quote, in essence... It's a better reflection of our state of the union based on a more populist point of view. Oh my gosh, populism was so great in the 1930s. It's certainly great today. Because populism is based on the people's point of view, said the Hulk. We want to celebrate this moment that we're in, and it's probably now one of the most influential and powerful and really beautiful movements to come into play in the U.S. since the Civil Rights Movement. Wow. Hulk... You've said a mouthful. May I just point out, the people aren't going to rally to your cause because you're not really reflective of the people. The people are actually smart enough to know that President Trump does dumb things. He says dumb things. He also signs a tax bill that helps them, you know, go to the grocery store where you have, I don't know, Maria. Go to for you? I'm not sure. You're hardly in the same universe, and certainly not in the same universe as the injustices of the civil rights era. The real people's state of the union is that they're not going to spend that time this week listening to you or really worrying about Donald Trump's latest tweet or your phony exercise in outrage. No, and it's not because Americans don't care about America or its leadership. It's because they're too busy trying to make a living. They're too busy trying to raise their children. They're trying to figure out how they can watch a TV show on television without you using the F word over and over and over again. I mean, I'm just saying. That's what the real people are really kind of working on right now. So next time, you might want to get to know some of the actual everyday people before you claim to represent them in your anti-Trump rally, because that's really all this is. Oh, newsflash, media's got to cover this. Another anti-Trump rally.
It's Monday, January 29th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm having one of those days.
I noticed that.
Yes. It's one of those, I feel bloated, you know?
You look bloated too, though, so you shouldn't feel bad about that.
Yeah. I wish it was the kind of bloating that happened when you just wash up on a beach and you're dead. I wish it was that kind of bloating.
Really?
Yeah. Today, I kind of do.
You do seem to have that praying for death air of you.
Yeah. Is it unusual? Today? I mean, you know, people say, oh my gosh, are you suicidal? No. I mean... No, I would just like...
That's a weird pause.
Well, no, I wanted to, you know, I think there's a difference between, are you suicidal? Oh my gosh, I just can't live anymore. No, it's not that. It's just there's times, and they're very short-lived, that, you know, if you shoot me in the head today, I'm not going to be that upset.
Not a big complaint day.
No, not a big complaint day. Will I shoot myself in the head?
No, I won't.
But if somebody happens to put a gun to my head and go, boom, I'm not going to miss it.
I'm not going to miss it that much.
Right.
Not like today.
If you happen to be crossing a street and an Escalade,
right,
let's say, rolls over you.
Right. What kind of car do you drive again?
I don't want to say. I just got to know. But no, it's not that that happens to
right.
occur.
If it happens to occur.
It's not
I'm
the
not,
type of thing you're going to complain about is what you're saying.
And it's not even, you know, Christians will say, you know, oh, well, it's because you know where you're going. No, I'm not even really sure on that. I just know it'll be different than this. Okay. At this point, I'm willing to take different. There are people that believe that, you know, there's a chance we're living in the Matrix right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a chance we're living in hell. There's a chance that we're living in hell. And we don't realize until we, you know, people say, oh, you know what that is? Reincarnation. No, that's hell. That's hell. At the end of this life, you're born again. Same place. Same.
That's hell.
Place. That's hell. That's hell. That's what. So there's a chance we're already in hell.
Well, I'll give you my official ruling on that until after the Super Bowl.
If the
Eagles lose, I will agree with you.
Sure.
However, in addition to that, we should review the things putting you in this I want to be hit by an Escalade mood today.
Well, not necessarily until I find the make of your car. Let's slow down on anything Cadillac.
See, you're not living this. You're not living this.
Right.
If you were really living this, I want to be hit by a car today type of vibe.
That's suicide. I do not want to be hit by a car.
Well, there's a difference. But there's much difference between killing yourself and wishing that you get hit by a car.
No, just not even. I'm not even wishing. It's just like.
You wouldn't mind it so much.
I wouldn't mind it so much. You know? I mean, don't you ever get to that point to where you're just like, it's not so bad.
Again, talk to me on Super Bowl Monday.
Right.
I will most likely be there.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we have the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
That had the white roses to the Grammys.
No, that was.
To hear people being disrespectful to women and women dressed up in no clothing.
Yeah.
You had that.
Yeah. I think the people that, you know, looked like they came right out of the bondage room. To perform and you know, to show up on the red carpet when they were talking about let's not sexualize women. I was listening, you know, I thought they made a very good point.
A very good point.
They removed the ball from their mouth. I thought that was good.
That was great.
Yeah.
So you have a new lake, new waterfront
property.
Lake.
Yep. A new waterfront property.
You didn't buy new property.
No, it came with a broken city water pipe that I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to pay for the 2.5 million gallons of that new lake, which makes me really happy.
Again, this is your negative outlook.
Oh, you know what? Another one. I love local government. You know, I keep saying, let's reduce the size of government.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my town. My town has raised my taxes because we don't have income tax here in Texas. We just have property tax. And what could go wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my town has property tax and they raised the tax like eyeball bleed.
Hundreds of percent
mm-hmm. in 2016. But I missed that crazy deadline. Okay. They've got like a 3-week period in the year where they'll listen to you. Okay, so
that's nice of them.
I missed it in 2016. So then I wrote them a letter because they did it again in 2017. They're like, you know what? His property has gone through the roof. And in fact, I've got 4 acres. And they said, you know, on 4 acres, you could build 4 houses.
You can build even more than 4 houses.
Right.
I'm surprised they stopped there.
Well, no, not in my neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not riffraff. And so you could build a house on an acre of land. And so they've classified my house as worth 4 houses this year. It was great. So anyway, I knew the window this time. And so I wrote a little letter to them and I said, hey, I'd like to talk to you about the taxes because you screwed me in 2016. So I'd like to sit down and talk to you about this time. Like, you know what? You know what? This is great. We've gone to 2 meetings now. We've been rejected for them to even hear our plea because they're not sure what I meant in that letter. Because I referenced 2016. And so they said, that time is up. And I said, no, look at the window. I said, it's bad in 2016. You've done it again. I want to talk. No, you just, Mr. Beck, this is a quote. We cannot tell for sure that was the intent of that letter.
I'm the guy who wrote the letter. I'm the guy who wrote the letter. You're trusting what, a piece of paper? More than the guy who's standing in front of you going, ah, really? This is what I meant.
This is just a little part of it. This is a sliver of your world right
this
now.
No, it's good. It's all good so far. And then we get the State of the Union tomorrow. But not only that, we get these Hollywood creeps giving us a people's State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, I want to listen and be lectured by them.
Oh, me
Don't
too.
I ever.
And they will tell you that you use too many straws. 500 million straws we use every day.
Wait, hang on just a
in
second.
This
first of all,
country.
First of all, they may tell us that, but I currently live in Texas, and for the next 10 minutes at least, no one is fining you like they are in California and Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They've come up with a new law based on bogus statistics that we use all these straws, and so California has taken it upon itself to fine the servers $1,000, which, by the way, Debbie Wasserman Schultz says is really nothing. I mean, when you got that in your tax,
that's
nothing.
It's a crumb.
It's a crumb. That's a quote from Nancy Pelosi, a crumb. So it shows they really don't care about the environment because they're only going to fine you a crumb.
It's a great point. They should go higher with this fine to make it really count.
So they are saying now that if you bring in an unasked for straw, they will fine that server $1,000. So I'm going to ask for straws, but I want a real accounting. If next time I go to California, I'm going to ask for a specific number of straws. Now, I don't know how many straws I can put in my mouth, but I do have, because it's environmentally friendly, the Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not,
so
tough.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay. you know, usually I don't use a straw. But if I wanted a straw, could I use 10? And would that make it easier?
Because you get more liquid, let's say.
It's going to be hard because I don't know if you can get the suction with 10. I mean.
Glenn now trying to drink with 10 straws.
Yeah. That's about 10. How many in this box?
100 straws in that box.
So let's try. Trying to think that my mouth is a little bigger than that. I mean, this is not all we're going to do, by the way. We're also going to build the world's longest straw, and I'm going to send it to California.
Imagine the fine on that thing. Right now, what's the fine up to in your cup right now? Do you have any idea? Because there's 100 straws in the box.
I'm going to ask for these, so they won't be fine. I'm going to ask them. I just need to know the number I need to ask for.
Okay.
Okay, I can do it, but it like sucks the water into your lungs, so it's getting a little dangerous.
And then it all comes out all over my computer, did. Yes.
So I think this is about half of them. So it's about 40 straws.
Well, half of 100 is 50.
Well, no, I know it's not quite half.
Okay.
So I think it's about 40 straws.
40 straws.
Yeah.
So that fine would be. You're talking $40,000 if they brought you 40 straws without you asking.
If I was sitting there and they just dumped 40 straws off, they'd be fine.
Right.
But I'm going to ask for them next time in California. Now, it's not just the number of straws that we can use, California, because we live in a place that we like to refer to as Texas, which has this quaint little idea called freedom. I think that if we could just build a straw that is long enough,
mm-hmm.
this might be a real winner as well. Because we could, I mean, sure, people are curing cancer, blah, 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 the God key, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're building straws that could possibly change our world.
Because this is the thing. If California passes this law.
Yeah.
And they say afterwards, they say, you know what? This has worked. We've cut straw consumption by 10%.
Yeah.
Then they'll decide they should pass another law and this will never end. So what we need to do is use enough straws to offset the amount of straws that may be saved in the entire state of California.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a box of 3,000 straws.
And I'm going to see if we can get it all the way to the commissary, which is the other side of this 80,000 square foot studio space.
I will say this too, Glenn. You might be excited that of straws that I have here are individually wrapped.
Also, we've killed a tree or two as well. That is great.
We've increased the waste on these things like
crazy.
And
you know what? I'm really not against sustainability or anything like that. I'm just really against the government of California.
I will just state for the record before we go to commercial, I am against sustainability. Just wanted to make sure. I am against it.
You are against
it? I am opposed to sustainability.
You don't care?
No, I really legitimately do not care.
All right. See, now I've got a straw that will almost reach to Stu's water. So if let's say they don't come and give me water, or he's got a Coke or a Jack and Coke and I don't have one, I could reach over and drink his water. This is perfect for a restaurant. Okay? This is the size you need at a restaurant. It's about 3 feet long. Now, can we get it to the cantina? Oh, you bet we can.
I'm working on it.
You know why? Because we're Americans.
This is like a knitting project during the show. I'll just keep making this thing longer and longer. And by the end, we should have no problem helping California out a little bit.
Blinds.com is the best at what they do. Instead of me telling you about Blinds.com, which I've done for a very long time, let me tell you about what Mark said. Mark wrote in. He's from Arizona. He said, I heard about Blinds.com on your radio program, had faith in your suggestion. Glenn, it was amazing service. Delivery and installation was a breeze. The blinds look fantastic. I ordered more 2 weeks later. I feel exactly the same. I'm going to tell all my friends. How can I say this? The blinds, the shades, the shutters, the drapes, all of that stuff, it's really good. It's good quality, and it is the best price you will find anywhere else. But it is honestly the people at Blinds.com that make all of the difference. They'll give you free samples, free shipping, free design consultation if you need it. They help you through step by step. I mean, they are there. You never stand around going, where's the guy with the apron? Where is he? Can I get some help here? Help that fast. Find out yourself why over 20 million Americans have trusted Blinds.com, making them the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. And now, through February 15th, save 20% site-wide at Blinds.com/talk. Oh, have I been replaced? Maybe my last day on the air. Blinds.com/talk. Go there now. Rules and restrictions do apply.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So the government is talking about making a 5G network. You know, the government will build it, which will be great. I mean, it's an information superhighway right to the NSA. And I think that's great. Who could want more? Well, you have it, too. They're also talking about a $1.7 trillion stimulus package, which I think is, again, what could go wrong there? Total collapse. I can't imagine. So it's all good today. We have, you know, the left protesting the president's State of the Union address today. Even though it happens tomorrow, they're going to protest it today or beginning today. I hope it lasts a week. It's fantastic. We have California, a couple of stories in California. One, we've been telling you about the fine for waiters who bring you an unrequested straw. If you haven't requested a straw and they just bring you a straw, they're going to charge that earth hater $1,000. And now they're talking about either reducing the fine or getting rid of the fine. And I don't know if you just go right to prison or the electric chair. No. Could Elon Musk make a green electric chair? Could we get an electric chair?
Like a solar powered electric chair?
No, not solar powered. No, something that we would still plug in to the wall, but we would all think that it was green because we plugged it in. You know, I don't want an electric chair on like a, you know, combustion engine. I want something that we just plug right in. So it's the electric chair, but who knows where that cord goes to? I want to just plug it into the wall because the magic fairies make that, and the environment is clean.
No, that's not what that. Not how
Let's
that
not
works.
Think that through. So anyway, we're making just for California, and it may be our gift to California. We're making a straw that can go all the way from the studio, which is at one end of this 80,000 square foot building, to the cantina or the commissary, which is at the other opposite end. That way we will never have to go to the commissary to get anything to drink. We can just have it right there.
So kind of like you're saying basically we would just have someone go down there, put the straw in a drink, and then just trust to suck the whatever liquid they decided to put it in all the way to the studios, and we don't have to move. Seems risky, I will say, especially with the way people feel about you.
I mean,
does not seem like
a
good...
What? Hold it just a second. I don't know what that even...
It does not seem like a good idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least for you.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, you know...
Maybe not for you.
I mean, it might... Right. I don't think...
Because you already said today that I might get hit by an Escalade as well.
Right.
And I know you bought a new car, and I know you've...
I got a loaner.
You're like... Huh?
You got a loaner.
You got a loaner.
Yeah, it's an SUV. Right.
Did you up the insurance before you got it? You're just like, does this cover everything in case somebody is hit by it or anything?
Better safe than sorry, Glenn.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I always ask that question, at least today.
Good. We have that. And then also in California, just because that throbbing in your head won't go away, we could relieve it, but we thought, you know what? Let's kick people in the head and see what happens. So we'll tell you a little bit about the teacher in California who has definite opinions on our military. Saw this one yesterday, and blood started to shoot out of my eyes. We're just gonna play the audio. We had to edit a lot because, as you know, high school teachers their lectures are riddled with profanity, as you would expect, and quite honestly, want and encourage. So here's the edited version. You can find the full thing on The Blaze. Listen to this.
Because we got a bunch of dumb think about the people who you know are over there. Your freaking stupid Uncle Louie or whatever, they're dumb. They're not like high-level thinkers. They're not academic people. They're not intellectual people. They're the freaking lowest of our low, not morally. You know, I'm not saying they make bad moral decisions.
Just, stop.
They're not talented people.
Stop. He's talking about our military, and he said they're the lowest of the low. Oh, no, my gosh. Not morally. I don't want to say morally. Right. Okay. He's just calling them stupid. It's your dumb Uncle Louie that's going over there. They're stupid. But you might immediately think, I know a lot of military people and not exactly stupid, but you haven't heard his reasoning. Listen.
Talented people. That's why when the president's office says we are the best military in the world, the president's will say that, whether it's Obama, whether it's anybody. I was like, no, we don't. The data is in. We don't have a good military.
Data is in.
If you join the military, it's because you have no other option. Because you didn't take care of business academically, because your parents didn't love you enough to push you.
We got to stop
for a second here. His evidence... that the science is in, and we have a dumb military, and it's not the best military.
Right. The actual stats show exactly the opposite, but let's go.
And it also seems to show that we've been the dominant superpower of the for a century.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So I would think our military isn't the worst military. And when you go to the dumb idea, obviously that's ridiculous, but it's also... standard liberal thought, right? I mean, this is a Stephen King made this point.
Yeah.
That people who go to Iraq
are the dummies.
It's the dummies. If you can't get a good education, if you can't read, you go to the military because that's where dumb people wind up in the end.
You know where those dummies are from, generally speaking? Middle America.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Probably some stupid state where they don't find their waitresses for giving people
exactly
straws.
Right.
Morons
it's
like
those
that.
Kinds of states.
People who will allow waitresses or waiters to bring a straw without you asking for it.
States that still think math makes a difference when, you know, they're doing their budgets. You know?
Oh, geez.
It's those kinds of people.
I hate those kinds of
people. Yeah, so he goes on.
And then you didn't love yourself enough. Push yourself, which isn't even that hard. It's not even that hard. You just have to focus a little bit. You don't even have to work hard. You just have to focus. And you didn't do it. But someone's going to tell you when to get up, when to go to sleep, what to eat, what to wear, when you can.
Okay, hang on just a second. So is he talking about liberal politicians that tell you what to do, or is he...
That's right.
Or is he talking about the military?
As we've covered, they don't trust you with the amount of straws you want.
Yeah, exactly right. But they're going to tell you what to do, where to go, what to eat. Well, you're exactly right. As long as you're talking about a progressive politician, you're exactly right. That's what they do. Unfortunately, what you're talking about is the military. And I got news for you. The military has to do that because it's a group that is going on a mission together and they act as one. So that's kind of part of it. He goes on to say that, you know, the military, we just haven't won anything. In fact, we didn't win World War II. The Russians did.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
When you can call home, when you can go home for 3 days, why would anyone ever sign up for that? And then they go, well, they're going to pay for my military. They're going to pay for my education.
Stop. Are you aware? Stop. Listen to this. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody sign up for that? They're going to tell you when you can go home. They're going to tell you when you can call, what you can do. Who would sign up for that? Well, I'll tell you, because they say they're going to give you a free education. Hello, Bernie Sanders voters. Hello, Bernie Sanders voters. This guy is not talking just about the military here. He's really describing progressive policies.
So where, when you can crap, when you can call home, when you can go home for 3 days, why would anyone ever sign up for that? And then they go, well, they're going to pay for my military. They're going to pay for my education. Are you aware you have a GPA of 0.0? You're not a student, dude. What makes you think all of a sudden you're going to get turned down to freaking education? I don't understand why we let the freaking military guys come over here and recruit you at school. We don't let pimps come into school. Right, anyone interested in being a hoe?
Wow. So he's comparing the military to... prostitution. And that's enlightening. Yeah. Also, I would say it's pretty insulting to, I mean, how many have we had come through here, Glenn, military people? Yes, there is a benefit to being in the military, sometimes with education and other things. That is not the reason these guys are going.
No.
When they say, why would you ever do that? Oh, they're going to pay for my education. That's like 97th in line of why these guys do this.
That is the reason that people who live in very closed progressive communities, that's the only reason they can understand. Well, they must be doing it for free education because they don't understand the deep meaning that people get from the military. They mock it. They mock it. And so they don't understand it. And so they come up with, well, it just has to be education. No. And let me tell you something. The many SEALs that I know of that left the military to become doctors, you know, brain surgeons. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of them that were in the military, came back and became something really, really useful. And I would love to put this guy on the, on a Jeopardy, a fair Jeopardy with members of our military, because I bet you he'd get his ass kicked. He has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. His name, by the way, Greg Salcido. It's a high school class. He does not salute the flag. He does not participate in prayer during any of the council meetings. He was teaching at El Ranch High School. He's a teacher in Pico Riviera City. He said, our military is not talented. We have night vision goggles, and yet we can't control these people wearing robes. I think, you know what? I think that's beautifully put, too. Very inclusive. Mm. So is he in trouble? No, you know what? Not really. Not really. He's 'cause he has freedom of speech. When is enough enough? When is enough enough? You know, this the real people's State of the Union. You know what the real people are tired of? This stuff. They're tired of trying to raise their kids the best they know how. Then they send them to school. And they're worried that one of their friends is going to take them off the mark and you know, move them down a path to... you know, whatever it is, name the problem today that you get at school. That they're going to lose the sense of who they are. We work so hard to try to mold our kids. And we're worried about them. We used to be able to trust the school and the teacher. We can't trust the school or the teacher anymore. We can't say anything because they're all like that. They look at us like we're crazy. The real people, they would just teach math, teach reading, teach arithmetic. What the hell is this all about? Our schools are failing us on everything. Just teach the basics and shut up on everything else. I don't need somebody to preach that the military is great, and I don't need somebody to preach that the military is horrible. Teach math and reading. How about that one? That's what the average American on both sides of the aisle would really like, because we as parents are a little tired. I want to talk to you about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is coming. What are you going to do? You got a gift idea? You want a gift idea? You can go to 1-800-Flowers.com. I want to tell you, I've had a deal with a flower company for a long time, and in the last 8 months or so, I started getting emails from people saying, "Glenn, you know, I had this experience, and they didn't really care." I looked into it. I do read the email. I do see the comments that come in. And this is the first time. I've always said I threaten to do this if you're not who you say you are. Well, they weren't who they say they were. And it's because they sold to a giant corporation. They were this really great company, and they sold to a giant corporation. They sold to FTD, and everything changed. They said it wasn't going to, but it did. And the quality was bad. I didn't want to do business with them. 1-800-Flowers.com has been, you know, trying to get on this program for a long time, but I'm very loyal and I do my homework. And 1-800-Flowers is a family-run business. This business was started, I think, 45 years ago, and it's still run by the same two brothers. It's really amazing. At some point, I want to tell you about all the charity work that they do and all the really cool things that they do. But it's Valentine's Day. What do you care? You want really nice roses. 12 multicolored roses now for $19.99. You can double it. 24 multicolored roses for only $10 more. This is an offer from 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers.com. Double it for $10 more. You can get 12 for $19.99. Valentine's Day. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak, shipped overnight. They're fresh. A dozen multicolored roses, $19.99. Double it for $10 more. Do it now. Pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. Do it now. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone and enter the promo code Beck. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Glad you're here. Let me take Mark in Iowa real quick. Mark, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Good morning.
Hey.
First and foremost, I want to thank you for being personally responsible for allowing God back into my life and my wife's life, and it eventually led to the adoption of our two girls.
Oh, so wow. Congratulations.
Oh, it was a huge battle through foster care and stuff, but there was a Fox program you had with David Lappin on about the Tower of Babel, which kind of lit the fire, and from there it's just been amazing. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Second of all, it's kind of an insidious thing. You might need the chalkboards for this, and I don't know if it's a blessing or if it's possibly the first start of AI taking over everything, but this fine in California for the straws, I think it's the first step in AI taking over, but it's starting in California, and if you track how actors get their starts, usually they are starving servers.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think AI has recognized.
You may be onto something, Mark. You may be onto something. Thanks for your call.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
I just saw a headline on TV. Music's biggest night turns political. No! Ah. Sexual assault. What does it even mean? What is sexual assault? I mean, because sexual assault allegations are, you know, happening, what, hourly? I mean, it's at least a daily occurrence. This is our new reality right now. So, over the weekend, we learn about allegations against both a Republican and a Democrat. First one, casino mogul Steve Wynn. He resigned as the national finance chairman of the Republican National Committee because he had dozens of sexual misconduct accusations, and it was published by the Wall Street Journal. The worst of these claims that Wynn pressured a married manicurist into sex and then paid her $7.5 million in a settlement. Wow, that's not good. Now, Wynn has denied the allegations, citing that the allegations are all the result of his ex-wife, who is trying to resettle the terms of their divorce. Could be. I don't know. Then there's Bernd Strider. He doesn't deny the claims against him. Strider was the Clinton campaign faith advisor. Female colleagues have complained about him going back to 2007, and yet he wasn't replaced. He's accused of kissing female peers on the nose or on the forehead. Okay, that doesn't sound like sexual abuse. That just seems weird. Okay. He also tried to plan commuting times with the ladies and sent late night emails that expressed loneliness and poor judgment, but never any X-rated material. Kind of feel bad for this guy in a way. I mean, that sounds like a cry for help. Now, Strider's accusations don't even begin to approach the accusations of Steve Wynn. But nevertheless, same thing, right? Same thing. People are angry that Hillary Clinton didn't immediately fire him and that he continues to work in Democratic politics. Well, maybe he should be fired, but maybe he shouldn't. I don't know. Whether you're Steve Wynn or Bernd Strider, in the eye of the new America, you are guilty. The very second anyone claims you're guilty, you're immediately a sexual predator, no matter how insignificant or outrageous the accusation may be. Everyone deserves to be believed. No. No, everybody deserves to be heard. Everyone deserves to make their case. And then common sense needs to take hold. Bernd Strider, I don't know. He might be a sexual predator. I don't know. Kissing people on the forehead or the nose or trying to arrange a ride for them is not what Steve Wynn did. That is, of course, if the allegations against Steve Wynn are even true.
It's Monday, January 29th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to take you to Kentucky and to the shooting that happened in that school last week. An amazing story we'll share with you here in a second, but I have to get an update on the straw situation in case you just joined us. We are building what we believe will be the world's largest straw.
How big is the largest straw, the world's biggest straw?
11,000 meters, which I think is about 40 feet.
Yeah, about 40. About 40 feet.
So we're going to, there's from here to the other end of the building, Stu, is
longer than 40 feet.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So we're trying to get a straw to come from our studio chair to the commissary on the other side of the building.
Yeah, and we've made a couple interesting choices here. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're doing this, by the way, is because California has decided they want to fine waiters and waitresses $1,000 if they bring you a straw that you did not request. Mm-hmm. So we're in the middle of talking about that, and we made a choice here to piss off California in any way possible.
No.
So we're making the longest straw to just have a drink. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for this other than I'm just thirsty.
Right.
So we're making this.
And lazy. I'd have to put the lazy part in, too.
There's a little laziness because now I don't have to get up to get drinks.
Correct.
I can just drink from across the room. We did make an aesthetic choice in getting straws that are all individually wrapped so we can kill as many trees as possible.
While wasting plastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's turning out to be a bit of a
you know,
a
because
challenge.
My daughter is, you know, getting into the sustainable lifestyle thing. But so far, she's fairly rational.
Actually, no. You said she uses bamboo toothbrushes that she made herself. So, no, I'm not going to give you that one.
No, she didn't make them herself. You can buy those.
Oh, so she bought a bamboo toothbrush.
Yeah. They're something that will, you know, you can throw in the compost heap eventually. And they, you know.
Then they.
And they break down 1,000 years from now and I don't know, grow to new bamboo. I don't know what happens. But they're gone. They disintegrate.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
I don't care if they disintegrate or not. Not a concern of mine
at all.
Well,
I actually, you know, I'm like for me, you know, I have a probably a more green friendly home than Al Gore does.
Difficult. Al Gore lives in a mansion with basically no. I mean, remember at the time they're like,
and he's thinking in the future he's going to retrofit his house with solar panels.
Right.
Wait, so Al's just thinking about this now.
Right. I mean, it was crazy.
I mean,
so I mean, I do care. I mean, you know, I want to be a good steward of the planet.
Well, you know, again, and I exaggerate slightly when I say I don't care at all.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want to be a good steward of the planet. It's just I've seen what environmentalism does to the planet, and I've seen what capitalism does to the planet, and I'm choosing the capitalism side. I think it's actually better. You know what?
You seen what communism does to the planet?
Yeah.
Because China is way.
Oh, that's great.
They're way ahead of us.
Look at civilization. Look at people's life expectancy. Look at the way we've been feeding people. If we listen to environmentalists, we'd never be able to feed people like we do now.
Well, I think we could go off on this. I happen to agree and disagree with you. Yes, we're feeding a lot of people, but yes, we're also kind of making some choices. I hate to say this to you
because you know
GMOs that you don't have a problem with. I think you know when we're screwing with genetics. You know, let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. What has the UN ever done that you went, that was a pretty good idea? Give me one. Give me one. One. That was a pretty good idea.
Curing smallpox through the World Health Organization.
Oh. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Give me two.
That's give a big two. One.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big one.
I give that to Jonathan Salk.
Mm. I agree with you. I'm not a fan of the UN, although, you know, these are not necessarily, they're organizations like in the UN that approve of this technology, as do, by the way, every scientific study
of it. But they did say, you know what? Hey, let's take some of the heirloom seeds. Let's put them underneath the ice. That's a pretty good idea, you know?
Wait, so now you trust them?
No, I don't trust them at all. But I think for the world to come together, the world to come together and say, hey, we should take every seed we could possibly find. And we should probably bury it in some sort of a Noah's Ark under the ice where it won't be affected by all this genetic mutation thing that we're going to do because it could go wrong. I mean, I think that's a pretty good safety tip. The reason why I point this out is when has the world ever done anything like that? When has the world ever said, you know what, we might wipe all life out. Maybe we should save some in a jar.
Well, there are things called insurance policies
that
are smart.
Governments never do that.
What do you mean? They've got nuclear shelters. There are always doomsday plans. We've covered many of them. I mean, you should always guard against the worst case scenario, but there's no evidence that they're ever going to be needed.
I hope not.
And of course not.
Mister.
And look, I think as a evil rich person who builds new lakes on his property all the time because he just loves wasting water, Mr. Green over here, who, by the way, told you in the last 3 weeks he's used 2 million gallons of water.
No, even better. I didn't use it. It's just
sitting on the lawn.
Just sitting on the lawn.
Yeah, no, we don't necessarily agree on that, but I think we can agree. On the idea that capitalism has made the world a better and, by the way, cleaner place.
Let me tell you something.
Cleaner.
The minute that solar panels are reasonable, they work, and they don't kill the environment in China to make, I'll have them on my home.
And that will also be the moment that environmentalists virulently oppose we'll
hate
them.
Yes.
Because they will say them. They're horrible anyway. It's got nothing to do with that. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, like you look at this is societies that can't feed themselves don't care all that much about the environment. They don't seem to have many green programs. It's until when you're a wealthy country is when you start caring about those aesthetic needs, when you start caring about the environment.
Right. And so it is good.
That's later.
It's good. Here's what I said to my, and I didn't even have to actually say this to my daughter because she said, I'm going to use toilet paper. I don't care how many trees we have to cut down. I'm using toilet paper. And I support her in that.
Right.
But she was like, I'm not going to be crazy. And I do want to point out that, some might say that there's a flare over the crazy area when you start making your own deodorant, but who am I to say?
You're an authority.
No, once they turn, I think about 14, they don't listen to you. So
no, I'm not saying as a parent. I'm just saying as a person.
As a person.
As a person.
Yeah.
You could say that's crazy.
I did say that's never happening in my house.
Okay. See.
So
your authority.
You could do whatever you want in your house. That's not happening in my house. Mm-hmm. We're going to use deodorant here because we like people. And we like to visit with people from time to time.
They stop showing up.
They do. Why is nobody? Because you stink. Okay. Because you made, you made soap out of grass and, took lavender and put it under your armpits. I don't know how you do it. I don't want to know how you do it. We're just not doing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a good idea.
I think so too.
Changing and playing with your deodorant choices is a path to loneliness, like the Lonely Whale that we discussed earlier.
That's the Lonely Whale Foundation.
The Lonely Whale Foundation
is all about saving the whales. And if we really are down to, I was for saving the whales, but more of them, not just one. If it's we're down to one lowly whale, I think I'm for the killing of that whale.
The humane.
Letting him choose his end now. It's time.
I'm not an expert on the Lonely Whale Foundation, but is it possible
that there
are lots of whales, there's just one that's lonely, and they're focused on saving that one lonely whale?
That would be a waste of money. You should get out and meet people. There's lots of whales. It's like my mother used to say, and this is literally true for him, there's lots of fish in the sea. I mean, what are you doing? Stop pouting.
Isn't a whale a mammal, though?
Get out and meet somebody or another mammal. I don't like her blowhole. It's weird. I don't care. She's got a great spirit. She's really sweet.
It's all about her personality.
It is. All right. If you're hiring, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I want to talk to you about using a smart tool, and that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/back. That's the place that you go if you'd like to try this out for free. Let me tell you what it is. If you don't have an HR department or if you're a small company and you're trying to find the right person, it's really hard. You got to post to a whole bunch of different job sites, and then you have to wait until somebody sees it. Well, ZipRecruiter will post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. It's one click and it's done. They give you a dashboard so you see everything that is coming in. But ZipRecruiter goes a step further. I mean, you can find that service, I'm sure, elsewhere. But this is what ZipRecruiter does that's different. They go out and they search for the qualified candidates, and then they invite them to apply. So the other hiring sites, you're waiting and hoping that somebody's going to see it. Well, what if the exact right candidate is, on vacation that week? What if that, didn't see your posting for some reason or another? ZipRecruiter will contact them and say, hey, have you seen this job? This is why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. It's ZipRecruiter.com. Been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. It's ZipRecruiter.com. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's how you get it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So remember last week, This is horrible. I should be able to get on and just say, so the school shooting. And we should all say, oh, yeah, last week. I'll bet you there's a good number of people that were like, there's a school shooting last week? There was another deadly school shooting last week. And it happened in Kentucky. Now, imagine you're a parent. And you're either a policeman, and so you hear about it, or you're a reporter and you hear about it, and you rush to the school because you're trying to cover it. But also, you're a parent, and you've got a kid in that school. So you're trying to do your job, and you're freaking out about your kid. And is my kid safe? Is my kid safe? Is my kid safe? This was the problem with the editor of the Marshall County Daily Online. Tuesday morning, shots are fired. First, they think that it was in the shop. I think it was in the shop class, or they heard the shots and thought it was just some banging on some metal. Then they realized after a few shots that it was actual gunfire. So the word goes out. The police are dispatched. She's a member of the press. She runs out. She's freaking out about her child. And then she finds out that it is her son that is the shooter. This is such a tragic story. I mean, for everybody involved. 15-year-old Gabe Parker. He's accused of pulling out a handgun and then fatally shooting two classmates, wounding 14 other people. It was just before the class was supposed to begin. Everybody who said they knew him said he was a really good kid, a nice kid. He was a sophomore, played the trombone in the school band. He was shy. He would go fishing with his grandparents. They said that, you know, his grandma was his best friend. One of the sophomores with him said, I was in the same math class with him. He was a really good kid, but he was quiet, kept to himself. Nobody knew, even mom standing outside, nobody knew he had issues in school. He was well-liked, everybody thought. One of, or some of his friends started telling one reporter that he was, and they said snappy. He was snappy when he came back from Christmas break. And he started talking about violence and how he wanted to join the mafia. We don't know yet what this kid's story is, but he was definitely trying to shoot. He was definitely trying to shoot to kill. He shot two students right in the head. Is that a shooter game that is desensitized to that, or at least made it so he's really good at that? Not blaming it on the game. I don't know what happened. I do know that mom and dad were divorced. Dad apparently had a short fuse, had a restraining order at one point. But he's charged now as a juvenile with 2 counts of murder, 12 counts of assault. He's in jail now. And this week they are going to try to move that he is tried as an adult. Tomorrow I want to talk to you a little bit about this a little bit more in depth in a conversation that my son and I had last night. And you know, I hate to judge what normal is anymore, because I don't know what normal is anymore. I know what normal was for me is not normal anymore. Give my kids a normal childhood. How? What is a normal childhood? The one that I was raised in, or the one that my grandparents were raised in, or the one that's happening now? We'll talk a little bit about that on tomorrow's broadcast. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, let's say hello and welcome to Mr. Pat Gray. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Glenn.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm flabbergasted at the irresponsibility of you people.
No, no, no. We are just trying to show the Californians what freedom is actually like.
This is the only planet we have. I don't know if you know that.
No, there's several others.
There's others, but you just can't survive there.
Yeah. It's the only one we're on right now.
If we unleashed capitalism, I bet we could survive there. The problem is all these environmentalists are in the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I mean, you're right. I mean, there are eight others.
He is right.
Yeah. Let's go.
Just go to another one. Find another one if you need to.
All right.
If we're wrong in the whole straw thing in the end, we just go to another planet.
Right. Okay. This is a little irresponsible for some. For some. Mm. For us, this is science.
Pat's a big environmentalist, though. Oh, man.
I mean, right?
Right? Like, look at him. Look at his passion.
So
inside, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs.
So in California, they are now fining waiters if they bring you an unsolicited straw. They're fining those waiters $1,000, or they would like to. They're talking about now coming off of that, and maybe it's just, you know, electrocution. We're not sure.
6 months in prison.
Six months in jail,
and $1,000 fine.
Oh my!
That's the maximum penalty.
That's amazing.
For a straw,
6 months in jail. Can you imagine that?
No.
What are we turning into?
I don't know. Not America, that's for sure.
And again, it's based on research done by a 9-year-old.
I hadn't heard that story until you mentioned it this morning.
Isn't that crazy? That's incredible,
fascinating.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Nine-year-old. Just made phone calls. Hey, how many straws do you make? How many straws do you use? And then he just estimated. At 9.
I think I'm sure it was a thorough sampling of the nation's manufacturers.
So the $500 million number came from a 9-year-old?
From a 9-year-old.
Literally came from the 9-year-old.
Literally 9-year-old.
Well, to be fair, he's 16 now. When he did the research, he was 9. Okay. It's been 7 years since anyone questioned it.
There's been no update on that.
There's no reason to question a 9-year-old's research, is there?
There's no reason to.
I mean,
you
think of a reason?
Okay,
the idea that you're using more than one per person per day, including babies, is the first indication. That seems like a crazy stat.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went out and did the environmentally friendly thing, and we bought thousands of straws ourselves. And Stu, did you ask for the paper wrap straws? Because that seems gratuitous.
It does seem a little gratuitous.
It does seem gratuitous, but there's almost enough there to have like a really cool confetti parade or something.
It's true.
Okay, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to make the world's largest straw. The actual world's largest straw in the Guinness World Record book is like 11,000 meters, which we think is about 40 feet. And
nobody knows.
No one knows for sure.
It's metric. Nobody knows.
It doesn't matter.
Nobody knows.
And it's foreign. Mm-hmm. So who cares? So this is
longer than 40 feet then. I think you've got the world's largest straw.
It's definitely longer. I don't know how long it is.
This studio is 16,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And are we at the door yet? Can you just take that camera, Melissa? Can you just go all the way down and follow the straw? Take Melissa's camera, please, so we can see. Follow the straw. She's going to walk right out of the studio. There it is. There it is, now on the studio floor. And follow that straw. Can you go all the way down?
This has to be the world's longest contiguous straw. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It has to be.
I think. It will be. Now, I don't know how much cable you have. Can you just keep going? Follow it all the way out, if you will.
Because
I want to show you how far we want to go.
We're going down the...
I don't care who you are. This is impressive.
Thank you.
This is a feat of engineering.
I'm impressed.
Look, this is our generation's Hoover Dam.
When I heard you talking about it, I thought they're not going to. Nah, they'll lose interest after the fourth straw.
Well, I did, but Stu didn't.
No, I kept doing it. And if you happen to be listening the entire time.
Is that the end of it, Melissa? Is there?
She's still walking to the end of the straw.
Okay, we've lost the light. So it's a giant studio.
She's still walking to the end of the straw. Still going.
There it is. Okay.
Okay. Right. Now we're going. Okay. There we are.
Okay.
We're at the end.
So, we are within 10 feet of the front door.
Yes.
Now, can you just go out the front door and, a kink.
No. Okay. Now,
you can't go to the front door?
She can't move anymore. This is as far as we went.
No, I mean, Melissa, the camera.
Oh, the camera.
Can you walk out the front, Melissa, and just show
us? Not you, Natasha. Not you. No, not you, Natasha. No, she's taking the straw.
Don't take the straw, Natasha. We're right there at the front door. We're 3 feet from the front door.
Yep. We're almost out of the studio.
We're going to show you if you're okay. So now this outside. All right. And if you'll point down toward the commissary.
Oh, we're losing signal there.
Oh, we lost signal.
Yeah. We're having issues with that the further we get away.
Yeah. So we've only got about 5 more hours of work on the straw to get it down to the commissary where we can actually, then put it into a bottle and then sip on it.
The most productive thing we've done today is the straw.
Well, it's still early.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. True. Only a half hour left of the 20 minutes of the show. It's not early. Oh, well. Pat, what's on the plate for you this weekend? I had a hard time with all the stuff in the news today.
I am proud of our friends to the north. Canada.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
These are the people who have a socialist in power now. And so, you know, they're all about equality and equalizing and equalization of equal things.
Yeah. 2 + 2 = yes. They're even into that.
They
part,
do all know. Of that really well.
Really well.
Well, worried that anti-immigrant rhetoric and decisions from the Trump administration could drive more people to its border, the Canadian government is trying to nip that in the bud. They just sent a representative, Pablo Rodriguez, who's a member of parliament, down to a huge meeting of dozens of immigration attorneys and immigrants' rights leaders in California. And he told them to get the facts and make a decision based on the right facts before leaving your jobs and taking your children out of school and going up toward Canada, hoping to stay there. Because if you're not legal, you'll be returned and not to the United States. You will have lost your status and you'll be returned to your country of origin. So the equalness in Canada is so
equal.
That they're telling him, we don't want you here. I mean, it's fine that you sneak across the U.S. border. Don't dare come across Canada's. Again, the hypocrisy of the rest of the world.
I hope they just do a giant campaign on that, though. I mean, I hope that we have lots that we can, the Canadians, geez. Look, I lived just right across the border for most of my life, you know. A good many years in a place called Bellingham, which is like 45 minutes in Washington State from the border. And, you know, we don't even have there's no gates. Canada could put their whole military together on the border and we'd, farmers would be like, come on. I mean, it's like no big deal. I mean, but wouldn't it be nice to see Canada start to actually be what every other country is, but nobody pays attention to?
Yes.
I mean, yes. We are. You remember the days when they said, we have to be more like Europe? I would celebrate if we could be more like Europe. We are so far beyond Europe now. Mm-hmm. We are the leaders in the world on almost every progressive nightmare there is.
We talked about abortion being a big one, part of that. I mean, it's almost impossible to get an abortion. In certain parts of Europe, and every European country, the most restrictive European countries, are still on the right side, the more conservative side than all of America.
And there's no religion over there.
Yeah,
they make it all about, wow, it's just those God people. Tell that to the people over in Europe. They're not about God.
Yeah,
they're fine. I mean, when can we go back to that mantra that they used to chant all the time? We need to be more like Europe.
Yeah,
okay, I'll go there.
Never hear that anymore.
Yeah, it requires us turning around. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a straw update up for us?
Are you ready to go? Should I try?
Wait. You have a drink at the other end of that.
We have
straw?
A drink. We have a Diet Hanks root beer on the other end.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
And I'm thirsty.
Hang on. Cut the music for a second. Stop. This is a big deal. First time in national broadcast history, we have what soon will be the world's largest straw in feet, not some stupid metric thing. Go ahead, Hanks Diet Root Beer.
Yes,
which is really good, by the way.
My favorite Diet Root Beer.
Yes, mine too.
Okay, I'm gonna try.
Yes.
Hopefully, we have a camera down there to see if this is actually working. Because
all right,
it's very long. Okay.
It doesn't seem like you're even getting any suction out of anything. We need to prime the pump. Can we call the Fed?
Is it coming?
Can you get, is it moving at all, the other end? Oh, boy.
This is hard. This is like blowing up a giant
this
rat.
This might be the only time in your life when somebody said, you don't suck enough.
All right, well, okay, so Stu is not an engineer, okay? Let's just leave it at that. He's not an engineer. But by God, we'll have this thing working by tomorrow's program.
We will? I might not have lungs left by tomorrow's program.
Tax season is approaching, and this week is Tax Identity Theft Awareness Week. Looking forward to getting your tax refund? Tax identity thieves might have already been looking forward to that. Fraudsters use the IRS... imposter scams to trick you into giving your social security number so they can file a return in your name and claim your refund. Your social security number may have already been lost. Maybe you weren't even tricked by it. Maybe they took it. One in four people have experienced this. And if you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen in ways that you can't detect. Thieves can sell your information on the dark web, get an online payday loan in your name. They can get your refund. LifeLock. They will detect a wide range of identity thefts and threats. And if they detect your information is, at risk or has been shopped around, they send you an alert. And then a U.S.-based restoration specialist works to fix it. Not only can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock uncovers the threats that you might miss. So join now. Get 10% off by using the promo code BECK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to lifelock.com and use the promo code BECK. You're going to save 10% right now at 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com, promo code BECK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Great tweets coming in at World of Stew right now. Some questions. You need to raise the height of the cup of root beer to a height higher than where your head is. That way you'll have gravity helping you. However, once it starts, it will not stop. So have a catch bucket ready. Can Stew suck more? Maybe, that question has more than one
please
meaning.
Don't tell him that. Go ahead.
If you didn't tape it, you've got air holes, so no suction, even if you're Jenny McCarthy, which I don't know why that... Well, it's relevant.
I've been a big advocate for the tape. But
you have. Yeah. What about this one? Put queso at the other end of that straw, and Stu will find a way.
Yes,
that's true.
Well, we found out during the break that Natasha, who is now at the front door of the studio,
this is an unbelievable controversy. Don't downplay this.
Yeah, all the way across the 16,000 square foot studio. She is she's at the front door of the studio. We are about a third of the way to the. To the actual soft drink dispenser in the commissary or cantina, and she did not have the straw in the liquid at all
in the drink.
Yeah.
So the whole time I was trying to suck through 100 feet of straw. She just had it. I don't know, on the floor.
Okay, so let's go ahead.
Okay.
By the way, I think this is about 100 yards. But go ahead. Let's see if we can go. Go ahead.
All right.
How much does Stew suck?
Show the other side of this so we can see all the liquid flow.
Oh, wait, there is some liquid. Is that liquid there,
that.
Natasha?
I see liquid.
No, I don't see any liquid. No, there's no liquid. No liquid, Stew. So you have to go back to the drawing board because this is an epic failure of your part.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I did not build every part of this. So it just like
Natasha, he is throwing
on Christmas
you under
vacation,
the bus like crazy.
She's basically the equivalent of not having the plug in the garage.
Right.
So I'm out there filling with each individual light.
Right. So you are, what you're saying is blame it on the woman.
Yeah, me too. I've been a victim too, is what I'm saying. I'm saying hashtag me too. That is what I'm saying.
Really?
Yes. I'm taking that stand here.
Really? Okay.
Because, I mean, we're all for equality, but if you can't...
Well, we're not all for equality. May I change the subject and go to Nancy Pelosi here for a second?
I think my lungs are going
to... Oh, your lungs are going to...
That can't be healthy. I've just done cannot be a good thing.
Throw this on top of it. Listen to Nancy Pelosi.
My plan is a campaign to make America white again. It's a plan that says... Over 50% of the current legal immigration will be cut back. that many people will be sent out of the country. If you read through it, you're thinking, do they not understand that immigration has been the constant reinvigoration of America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you even understand what that means, Nancy. I mean, are we getting to a point where anybody actually believes this? I mean, if you're paying attention, I know there's, you know, 99% of Americans are not paying attention. But for those on both sides of the aisle, do you think anyone actually believes what she's saying? You know she doesn't. She knows it's not a campaign to make America white again. Oh, stop it.
Right. Of course she knows that.
Right.
And because all Democrats were all in favor. Do we have the Chuck Schumer 1990 clip a handy?
Yeah, listen to this. Here he is, Chuck Schumer on immigration.
For the first time, we're saying it should not simply be family relationships that determine who comes here. This bill says that if you have a skill that America needs, we're going to accept you. In the past, that was very, very, very difficult. Less than 4% of all immigrants came because or were admitted to this country because we needed their help in the job market. And now that percentage will increase significantly. And so it's the first time that we've really recognized that economic competition, the need for new skills and new ideas that for whatever reason aren't being supplied by our own workers will happen.
So how do we listen to a guy named Chuck Schumer now? Because he was so clearly a racist and held deeply racist views.
Yeah. What was he doing there? He was trying to make America white again.
Right.
Right. By Nancy Pelosi's definition.
Right.
That's what he was trying to do.
I would like to hear the transition from racist then to an understanding, compassionate human being. I want that case made by Chuck Schumer. I want to hear the transition.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.